RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan told the United Liberation Movement for West Papua to leave Indonesia. Corruption Eradication Commission Law Revision only will be done if it strengthens anti-graft agency. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan has told the United Liberation Movement for West Papua, which campaigns for Papuan independence, to leave the country as it could pose a threat to the country's territorial integrity. The movement was formed last year when Vanuatu hosted a unification summit for West Papuan representative groups. Representing the various Papuan resistance group, the movement officially applied for full membership of the MSG in February 2015. Many have speculated that the Indonesian government is trying to undermine the influence of the MSG on the Papua issue by applying to become the group's newest member. Foreign ministry officials have made around diplomatic trips in the region in recent months as member governments have struggled to balance their growing ties with Jakarta while providing support to regional grassroots movement dedicated to securing rights for the indigenous people of West Papua, where a separatist conflict has been simmering for decades. Controversy about the planned revision of law on the Corruption Eradication Commission continues to drag on, with the opponents of the move raising their objection vociferously. The move to revise the commission law has been widely rejected, as many considered it would weaken the fight against rampant corruption in the country. The commission leaders also have expressed strong opposition to the draft revision. Deputy Chairman of the Commission, Laude M. Sharif, said most or more than 90% of the draft revision is not aimed to strengthening the commission. Laude said that there are at least 4 of the 47 chapters in the draft revision have elicited strong public criticism, including limiting the remit of the corruption cases that can be handled by the commission, restricting its wiretapping authority, a watchdog body to control the commission, and inclusion of a provision to allow the commission to drop corruption cases. According to him, the addition of an authority to drop cases carries the potential for its misuse. Chairman of Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission, Agus Raharjo, meanwhile, proposed that corruption investigation is also conducted on private sectors in order to maintain corruption eradication efforts in all sectors. Speaking on Saturday in Surabaya, East Jawa, Agus Raharjo said that one of many private sectors to be investigated is in the rice trade monopoly activity, where farmers' rice production is dominated by certain parties taking advantages from the business illegally. According to him, corruption eradication effort in private sector is important to guarantee Indonesia's welfare in the future. Indonesian Police Department arrested 5 people suspected linked to the January 14 attack in downtown Jakarta in a series of raids in the city of Malang in East Java. The series of bomb blasts and gunfight by ISIS followers last month killed 8 people, 4 of whom were the attackers themselves. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said on Saturday that police have since apprehended 19 people, 6 of whom they said were directly related to the attack in several regions across the country, adding that another 5 were arrested by counter-terrorism squad Densus 88 during raids in 3 separate locations late on Friday in Malang. Of the 19 people previously apprehended, 18 are still detained, while 1 person has been released due to insufficient evidence. According to a source at the National Police, the 5 people are part of the military wing of the Jamaah Ansar Khilafah Daulah Nusantara, formed in March 2015 and comprises of ISIS supporters who have allegedly sent Indonesians to fight alongside the extremist group in Syria. Various stakeholders connected to soccer in Indonesia have been trying to bring to an end the sanctions imposed by FIFA against the All Indonesian Football Association. The sanctions have been in place since May 30, 2015. In this regard, FIFA established ad hoc committee chairman Agum Gumelar has urged the Youth Affairs Ministry to merge with the ad hoc committee before the FIFA's extraordinary congress scheduled for February 26, 2016. Agum, who was previously the general chairman of the Indonesian Football Association, made the observation in Jakarta last Thursday, saying that the sanctions may have an impact on Indonesia's position at a time when it's set to host the 2018 Asian Games. FIFA sanctions have resulted in a ban on the Indonesian soccer teams participating in international tournaments. The sanctions were imposed as FIFA believed that the association has violated the FIFA statutes, Article 13 and 17, by letting the outsiders intervene, namely the Ministry of Youth and Sports and the Indonesian Professional Sport Agency. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan told the United Liberation Movement for West Papua to leave Indonesia. Controversy about the planned revision of law of the Corruption Eradication Commission continue to drag on, with the opponents of the move raising their objections vociferously. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener of Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Steve, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, presenting you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Pontianak, West Kalimantan. The National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, or LAPAN Pontianak, will prepare about 100 special classes for the people or tourists who will watch the total solar eclipse on March 9, 2016 in the city of Pontianak. The head of LAPAN Pontianak, Muzirwan, said in Pontianak last Monday that it will cooperate with the Pontianak city government to introduce the upcoming total solar eclipse at schools. According to Muzirwan, moderate solar eclipse will pass through Pontianak at about 92.96%. But LAPAN will do research on the moderate solar eclipse. Next, we move to Palembang, South Sumatra. South Sumatra government prepares circuit construction in Jakabaring, Palembang, following MotoGP, which will be held in Indonesia. South Sumatra Governor Alex Nurdin said on Wednesday in Palembang that the government will fund sponsor and private companies to fund the circuit construction. According to him, it will form consortium to build the circuit because there is prohibition for the government to use the state budget. South Sumatra government prepares 120 hectare land for the MotoGP. The governor also added 70 hectare land will be provided for the circuit government, while the rest is for the construction of supporting facilities. And the MotoGP Indonesia will be held in 2018. And the last news is from Bogor, West Java. 9 documentary films of Handicraft Film and Indonesia Nature Film Society were screened last Monday at Bogor Institute of Agriculture, or IPB. Executive Director of Indonesian Nature Film Society and Irawan Putra said that the documentary videos allows the Indonesian world to see the description of traditional life among the people in Indonesia with their forests. Meanwhile, Secretary General of the Nation and Customary People, Abdon Nababan, said that there is 84 million hectares of customary area in Indonesia. About 40 million hectares of the area is best forest that Indonesia has. Lecturer at Faculty of Human Ecology at IPB, Suryo Adiwibowo, evaluated that the films reflect the holistic mindset of the customary people. The films are expected to attract public on the role of Indonesian customary people in the climate change. Well, listener, that is the news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Steve. Thank you for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1965, Malcolm X assassinated at the Audubon Ballroom in New York City. Malcolm X was born on May 19, 1925 and died on February 21, 1965, was born as Malcolm Little and also known as El Haj Malik El Sabas, was an American Muslim minister and human rights activist. To his admirers, he was a courageous advocate for the rights of blacks, a man who indicted white America in the harshest term for its crimes against black Americans. Detractors accused him of preaching racism and violence. He has been called one of the greatest and most influential African Americans in history. Malcolm X became a member of the Nation of Islam and, in 1952, quickly rose to become one of the organization's most influential leaders. He served as the public face of the controversial group for a dozen years. In keeping with the nation's teachings, he promoted black supremacy, advocated the separation of black and white Americans, and rejected the civil rights movement for their emphasis on integration. By March 1964, Malcolm X has grown disillusioned with the Nation of Islam and its leader, Elijah Muhammad. He embraced Sunni Islam after a period of travel in Africa and the Middle East, which included completing the Hajj pilgrimage. He repudiated the Nation of Islam, disavowed racism, and founded Muslim Mosque Incorporation and the Organization of Afro-American Unity. He continued to emphasize Pan-Africanism, black self-determination, and black self-defense. In February 1965, he was assassinated by three Nation of Islam members. The autobiography of Malcolm X, published shortly after his death, is considered one of the most influential non-fiction books of the 20th century. Next is International Mother Language Day, which falls on February the 21st. International Mother Language Day is a worldwide annual observance held on February the 21st to promote awareness of linguistic and cultural diversity and multilingualism. The date corresponds to the day in 1952 when students from the University of Dhaka, Jagannath University, and Dhaka Medical College demonstrating for the recognition of Bangla as one of the two national languages of East Pakistan were shot dead by police near the Dhaka High Court in the capital of present-day Bangladesh. First announced by UNESCO on November 17, 1999, it was formally recognized by the United Nations General Assembly in its resolution establishing 2008 as the International Year of Languages to promote unity in diversity and international understanding through multilingualism and multiculturalism. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with me, Steve. Entitled, Political Stability Needed to Fight Terrorism. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi said that almost all countries in the world face the same issue, namely citizens who join terrorists abroad or called as foreign terrorist fighters. According to President Jokowi, to fight terrorism actions and press the number of citizens joining the foreign terrorist fighters, it needs political stability and democratic action, as well as freedom for foreign population. President Jokowi made the statement when leading a session to address the terrorism in Retreat 2nd on the last day of the ASEAN-US Summit on Tuesday evening, February 16th in Sinoland Historic Dome in California, the United States, or Wednesday morning in Indonesian time. President Jokowi said that 320 Indonesian citizens are now in Syria to join the foreign terrorist fighters. However, the number is relatively small compared to the number of Indonesian population reaching 252 million people. According to President Jokowi, from the media analysis, so far the main factors which cause the relatively small number of Indonesian people joining the foreign terrorist fighters are Indonesia doesn't have repressive administration, it is not in foreign population, and it has relatively stable political condition. President Jokowi also explained that now Indonesia possesses law on terrorism. It is done to give larger space to the police to eradicate terrorism under stronger legal umbrella. President Jokowi affirmed that this legislation strengthening is certainly done by considering respect on human rights. Furthermore, the president invited ASEAN leaders to work together to face extremism and terrorism by using social media. Introduction through social media can be done by adding narration on moderation, tolerance, and peace. The efforts to face extremism should also be made by solving the problem root and creating conducive atmosphere on terrorism. Besides, it is done through religious and cultural approach by involving the people and institutions. Regarding President Jokowi's statement on the process of law on terrorism, the House of Representatives now learned revised draft of Law No. 15, Year 2003 on Terrorism Criminal Act Eradication proposed by the government. It is done before the House takes stance. According to the House Speaker, Andi Komarudin, the House has received terrorism bill draft signed by President Jokowi. Next week, the draft will be addressed together with the other factions in the meeting of Consultative Board. Furthermore, from Consultative Board meeting, the draft will be brought to plenary meeting to be responded officially by the factions. Well, listener, that ends Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the Week in Review, presenting summary of what happened this week in Indonesia. Let's begin with Monday, February the 15th, 2016. Indonesia's Village Underdeveloped Regions and Transmigration Minister Marwan Jafar said he will be mapping 5,000 underdeveloped villages throughout Indonesia so the process of rural and village developments can be accelerated. The ministry will also speed up to 1,000 self-sufficient villages. The mapping is done so the development programs will run fast and accurate. Marwan said in a statement on Monday, February the 15th, that the target of the development is to reduce the number of underdeveloped villages to 5,000. Meanwhile, to increase the number of self-sufficient villages, the ministry targets about 2,000 villages. One of the acceleration agenda to realize the plan is by mapping those villages. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said the government would propose that additional funds for the Special Detachment Densus 88 Counterterrorism Squad be included in the amended state budget. Luhut said in Jakarta on Tuesday after meeting with Vice President Yusuf Kala to report about security issues that he had earlier reported to President and Vice President about the need to improve the squad's facilities, personnel and lodging. Besides, special units of the Indonesian Defense Forces will also be strengthened to back up the Indonesian police in case they have to deal with simultaneous threats. Terror threats could happen anytime. Therefore, he said, the government must stay vigilant to meet any such eventuality in a swift manner and respond firmly. Meanwhile, still on Tuesday, February the 16th, President Joko Widodo said that he would establish cooperation with social media companies to assist the government on terrorism prevention in Indonesia. President Jokowi was the first speaker at a discussion on counterterrorism at the U.S.-ASEAN Summit in Sunnylands, California, the United States, on Tuesday, February 16, conveyed his suggestion on using the social media to face extremism and the calls to join the foreign terrorist fighters. The foreign terrorist fighters' recruitments have been widely carried out via social media, he said. The message was conveyed by the president during his visit at the Silicon Valley in the Indonesia Digital Initiative Empowering Leaders of Peace session on Wednesday, February 17, 2016. Many countries have been facing the same issues on the foreign terrorist fighters. There are 329 Indonesian citizens who are joining the foreign terrorist fighters in Syria. The number is relatively small compared to the number of Indonesian citizens of 252 million. Move on to Wednesday, Indonesia is currently studying over the possibility of establishing free trade with the European Union this year, bearing in mind that Industry Ministry's Director General of Industry Resilience and Development of International Industry Access, Ahmad Sigit Dwi Wahyono, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that he warned not to include all sectors in the free trade agreement. Thus, he added, the study team is currently selecting goods to be included in the free trade review its domestic resilience. He suggested that Indonesia-European Union agreement is materialized. Indonesia is optimistic to grab 30% of the European Union investment in ASEAN, which is currently standing at only 12%. Move now to Thursday. Bank Indonesia BI reduced its benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points on Thursday to 7% following a two-day Board of Governors meeting. The central bank also lowered the primary reserve requirement ratio by 100 basis points to 6.5%, down from 7.5% effective from March the 16th. This is the second time the central bank has cut 25 basis points of its key rate in two consecutive months after it remained for almost a year at 7.5%. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said at a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday that the bank central also lowered both the deposit and lending facilities by 25 points to 5% and 7.5% respectively. Now, let's move to Friday. Indonesian Police Department arrested five people with suspected links to the January 14 attack in downtown Jakarta in a series of raids in the city of Malang in East Java. The series of bomb blasts and gunfight by Islamic State sympathizers last month killed eight people, four of whom were the attackers themselves. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said on Saturday that police have since apprehended 19 people, six of whom they said were directly related to the attack in several regions across the country, adding that another five were arrested by counter-terrorism squad Densus 88 during raids in three separate locations late on Friday in Malang. Of the 19 people previously apprehended, 18 are still detained, while one person has been released due to insufficient evidence. According to a source at the National Police, the five people are part of the military wing of the Jamaah Ansar Khilafah Daulah Nusantara, formed in March 2015, and comprises of ISIS supporters who have allegedly sent Indonesians to fight alongside the extremist group in Syria. That was the end of the Week in Review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Indonesian Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan has told the United Liberation Movement for West Papua, which campaigns for Papuan independence, to leave the country as it could pose a threat to the country's territorial integrity. Controversy about the planned revision of law on the Corruption Eradication Commission continues to drag on, with the opponents of the move raising their objection vociferously. The move to revise the law has been widely rejected, as many considered it would weaken the fight against rampant corruption in the country. Chairman of Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission Agus Raharjo proposed corruption investigation is also conducted on private sectors in order to maintain corruption eradication efforts in all sectors. Indonesian Police Department arrested 5 people suspected linked to the January 14 attack in downtown Jakarta in a series of raids in the city of Malang in East Java. Various stakeholders connected to soccer in Indonesia have been trying to bring to an end the sanctions imposed by FIFA against the All Indonesia Football Association, PSSI. The sanctions have been in place since May the 13th. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including art and culture, places of interest, and also culinary. Today's edition will be introducing Gili Labak Island in Madura, East Java Province. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Not many people know that Madura has a beautiful small island near it. The island was formerly called Pulau Tikus or Rat Island, because it is said that the island was once full of rats, but its beauty exceeded its original name, that is Rat Island. The island's name now was changed to Gili Labak. Gili Labak has an area of about 5 hectares. The island is inhabited by about 35 households only. For supporting facilities on the island is still relatively inadequate, such as limited clean water and electricity, which is only lit up at night. But all is not an obstacle in enjoying the beautiful island. Gili Labak Island, which lies in the district of Talango, Sumenep, precisely in the southeast of Sumenep, lately become one of the tourist centers in Madura. The beautiful landscape on the island as if waving to the tourists to come enjoy it. Gili Labak Island has a white sandy beach as can be found on the famous Bali and Lombok Islands. The island also provides the wonder of amazing underwater world. At some points, this island has a superb view. Captivating sea coral, beautiful fish swimming around underwater sight add to the beauty of this island. The island is located in the southeast of Sumenep and there are many routes to it. Since in the east coast of Sumenep there are many small ports, visitors can easily choose which route they would take. The route through Kalianget Port is the most widely used. It is strategically located and easy for people to pass through. There are a lot of services of boat tour delivering visitors to the destination. The time needed to cross to Gili Labak Island is approximately 2 hours, depending on the weather and winds that often interfere with the trip. It's because until now there has been no large ships headed to this beautiful island. Since Since Girilabak Island has a very beautiful view of the sea, the activity that should not be missed by tourists are snorkeling and diving. But you have to bring your own equipment because here there is no place to rent them. Of course, you can always swim, sunbathe, and relax on the beach while enjoying the scenery. Or you can walk around exploring the island of Girilabak, which takes only 30 minutes. Unfortunately, the facility on this somewhat virgin island is still very insufficient. So if you want to stay there, you have to stay in the homes of local people or camp on the beach. Just remember to bring your own necessities, especially food. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder Today featuring Girilabak Island in Madura, East Java Province. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. In today's edition, the topic is the International Mother Language Day, so stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. February the 21st is celebrated as International Mother Language Day. It was proclaimed by the General Conference of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, in November 1999. International Mother Language Day has been observed every year since February the 2000 to promote linguistic and cultural diversity and multilingualism. The date represents the day in 1952 when students demonstrating for recognition of their language Bangla as one of the two national languages of the then Pakistan were shot and killed by police in Dhaka, the capital of what is now Bangladesh. Languages are the most powerful instruments of preserving and developing tangible and intangible heritage. All moves to promote the dissemination of mother tongues will serve not only to encourage linguistic diversity and multilingual education, but also to develop fuller awareness of linguistic and cultural tradition throughout the world and to inspire solidarity based on understanding, tolerance, and dialogue. Southeast Asian Ministers Education Organization, SIAMEO Quality Improvement of Teachers and Education Personnel, KITEP Indonesia Indrani said, there are at least 700 local languages in Indonesia. In fact, Indonesia is the second country in the world with the largest language after Papua New Guinea. Dean of the Faculty of Education and Languages and Arts of the University of PGRI Semarang, Asropah, says the use of mother tongue among the younger generation is now starting to wear off, especially the local language. For example, the use of Javanese in the city of Semarang and surrounding areas. Many things affect the dilution of the use of Javanese as their mother tongue today. Among others, the influx of foreign culture in the country and the decline in the number of speakers of the language. That's because the majority of parents today rarely use the mother tongue or Javanese to their children. According to Asropa, the use of the mother tongue, especially in the Javanese city of Semarang and surrounding area, should continue to be preserved. It can be ongoing and sustainable. Therefore, in order to commemorate the International Mother Language Day in 2016, the university held a competition for high school students in Central Java Province. The activity, held on February the 20th, is aimed at preserving the Javanese language. The activities included Macapat or Javanese poetry, Javanese storytelling, and Javanese new creation dance competitions. Through various competitions, it is expected to remind the younger generation, especially students of high school, to help to protect the use of Javanese as the mother language. Well, that was Miscellany today on the International Mother Language Day. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia, Jakarta.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Well, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Kevin Zhao in China. Kevin Zhao said that on the occasion of the Chinese traditional festival Spring Festival, he wished us and our family, relatives and friends a happy new year and good luck. He also wishes that every happiness will always be with us. Hello, Kevin Chow. Thank you very much for your email dated February 6, 2016. He is one of winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2014. Thank you for your attention and appreciation. We also wish you always happy and get luck throughout the year. Well, Kevin Chow, we are looking forward to receiving your next email, certainly with your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Well, listener, before we read another email, we will play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners, wherever you are. Enjoy the song. Listener, now we will reply an email from Andrew Kuznetsov in Latvia. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1758 hours to 1840 hours UTC, and the SYN pole was 33232. Hello, Mr. Andrew Kuznetsov. Thank you for your email dated January 31st, 2016. We really appreciate your effort to listen to our radio, even though it was a little bit weak in your country. We hope that you can still get some information, but you don't have to worry if you miss the information or your favorite segment of our broadcast. You can visit our website at www.voi.co.id. As your request, we will send our QSL card to your address as soon as possible. Well, Mr. Andrew Kuznetsov, keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report as well. Thank you. Well, listener, wherever you are, we'll play another beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song. You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply a comment from Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast through live streaming at 1300 hours to 1400 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Thank you very much for always tuning our radio and also sending reception report. Yes, absolutely. Yes, like you said, our country has many beautiful places. And every day through our segment Indonesian Wonder, you will be able to know the beauty of every region throughout Indonesia. And if you are curious about the region, please come to Indonesia. And don't forget to stop by at our office on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are waiting for your coming at our office. And listeners who are listening to our radio now, we will play a beautiful song special for you. Let's check it out.
Oh,
listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. And we also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude, listeners' mailbag for this week, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in listeners' mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.